You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I just want to tell you that on this Thursday, it is our spring member drive, and that it's members, people just like you, who make up the lion's share of our funding here at WPR. Make a gift today for the programs you count on, for yourself, for the entire community. Give it this number. It's 888-202-2552. Or WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Right now, we're checking in on the housing market in Wisconsin. I saw a sold sign swinging in the breeze as I took a walk around my neighborhood yesterday, and I did a double take. Houses are being bought and sold during this pandemic. But a popular housing market gauge of the U.S. residential real estate market has plunged to its lowest level since June 2012. That's the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. Builder confidence for single-family homes plunged 42 points to a reading of 30 in April. Do you have a home on the market? Tell us about your experience. Are you allowing people to see your property in person? How do you do showings? We're at this conversation right here at 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. We have Max Ray, president of the Central Wisconsin Board of Realtors. He's also the broker owner of Remax Excel in Wausau. Max, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
All right. So a lot of times we're asking this to almost every person we talk with. How is your company doing COVID-19. As an essential business, how are you coping?
Well, we're coping. Obviously, we have to do things differently than we had in the past, running a very short crew so we can keep social distancing going. As we say at the Central Wisconsin Board of Realtor, we're in business, but it's not business as usual. We're making changes. We're just making sure that we not only keep our employees safe, but we keep our clients and customers safe as well.
Well, we're going to get into some of those different things going on. What has changed in the day-to-day work of being a realtor?
Well, one of the things that we're doing a lot differently is just making sure that we're not dragging people through houses unnecessarily. I mean, in the past, we'd have buyers calling to look at properties, and would look at 7, 8, 10 properties a day. Currently, now we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes and ahead of schedule. Doing a lot of video tours. We're doing a lot of FaceTiming. We're actually viewing homes for them prior to them seeing it, so that they, you know, pretty much we're not in everybody's house as much as we were.
Oh, so the agent may walk around with their camera on and say, hey, this is what this home is looking like. I'm in it right now. Do you think you're really interested? Do you think you need to take a look?
Yeah, correct. Or the listing agent will do that ahead of time, and they'll have links. So what we've done in on our multiple listing services, allow virtual tours to be uploaded so that we can send videos to our buyers prior to them wanting to look at it so they can see the house. So really the listing agent is ahead of the buying agent and able to give them a better view of the home.
What kind of technology are you using for those virtual showings?
Well, there's a couple, you know, some people are using, we'll do a you know, video on their phone. There's a lot of 360 cameras that agents have been buying. As a matter of fact, it's hard to buy a 360 camera right now. I think every real estate agent is getting one. And then they use software packages like Matterport, which will create a virtual showing so that you can walk through the house, see the rooms, see how they're laid out. It's pretty fascinating.
Does it seem pretty realistic?
Yeah. Depending on which virtual tour company you're using, it's as realistic as it can get. It's a lot better than the virtual tours that we saw 5, 6, 7 years ago, for sure.
We're talking with Max Ray. He's a broker owner of RE/MAX Excel in Wausau. We're looking at the housing industry right now. What questions do you have about real estate in Wisconsin? What do you want to know if you plan to buy or sell during the pandemic? We're at a new number here at the moment here, 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. Let's take a call now. Sonia is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Sonia.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I am in the process of buying my first home, and I am set to close next week on Friday, and I have some concerns as to how closing will actually happen at the title company, and who will be there, if my lender will be there, if my realtor will be able to be there. and when I wrote the offer to purchase, I was then sent an addendum, a coronavirus addendum.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Well, you know, every title company's handling things a little different. I know that in our market, real estate agents are not allowed to attend the closings at this time. I think there's a couple different ways title companies are doing it. Some title companies will put the buyer in one room, the seller in another room. Everybody will sign their documents and then have not as many people at the closing. There are companies that are doing virtual closings where they're doing everything online, which Wisconsin now is allowing electronic notaries for that kind of transaction. And then we do have one title company in our town that's doing a drive-up window where you stay in your car and they pass the information through the window.
Wow.
Oh. Okay. And
so
I'm
my suggestion would be to ask your...
I kind of feel like some of the people dealing with me don't want me to be near anyone as though there's some increased risk with my profession and, you know, coming to closing.
Right. Well, I can tell you that we're all making sure that we're making everybody comfortable that are involved in the transaction. So I think that the best thing that you should do is maybe call your realtor and just kind of ask them how they plan to do the closing so that everybody's comfortable.
What is this addendum that Sonia is talking about, this COVID addendum? Max, have you seen one of these?
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Realtor Association has devised an addendum that kind of talks about kind of rules when you're looking at a home. If you're feeling sick, if you... should not be in a property because you're not feeling well. It's saying that you should not look at the property. You're agreeing not to look at the property if you're not feeling well. It also extends closing dates. So, for example, when this first started, we weren't sure if we were going to be allowed to conduct business. So the addendum kind of said, hey, for some reason, if we can't get a home inspector into your home or if we can't get an appraiser in your home, everybody agrees to extend the closing, you know, a certain amount of days so that we could get those things done.
So it sounds like time is really what you're looking for here in order to get through this time, you know, during a pandemic, an extra cushion for every step of the way.
Correct, because everything changes on a daily basis, and we don't, you know, things were different 2 weeks ago. We had no idea if it were even able to close on properties, so we needed that extra layer of time.
Sonia, good luck, and thank you so much for your service in nursing. Max Ray is with us, realtor based in Wausau. He's president of the Central Wisconsin Board of Realtors. We're talking about the challenges in the housing market as COVID-19 rips through the economy. Have you recently closed on a home? What was the process like? Did everything go as planned? Did you need an extra cushion of time? What about the home inspection? How did that work? Join in 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. Back in a moment with Max Ray here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we talk about the housing market. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. An indicator of home builder sentiment just suffered its biggest monthly drop in the index's 35-year history as the coronavirus pandemic slams the economy. Builder confidence plunged 42 points in April, according to the latest National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index. Are you someone who has a mortgage? How is the coronavirus affecting your payments? Have you had to talk with your lender? What is the situation? What questions do you have about real estate transactions here in Wisconsin? We're at this number to talk. It's 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. And we have Max Ray with us. He's president of the Central Wisconsin Board of Realtors. Max, how would you compare the housing market right now in central Wisconsin, where you are, to this time last year?
Well, obviously, it's a lot slower than it has been. And, you know, this is typically our busy season. Typically, April, May, June is really when things are really heating up. You know, currently, when properties are listed right now in what I would call the sweet spot of pricing, there are multiple offers on the property, so houses are still selling. Just I think sellers are more afraid to put their home on the market, so therefore we have less to sell, so that's going to create less sales.
So inventory is lower right now. What is the sweet spot of pricing? What does that look like?
Well, in our market, I mean, every market's different. You know, Milwaukee, Madison is going to be different, but in our market, anywhere from 80,000 to 250 is pretty popular.
Okay, and how much house can you get for that? You know, from that lower range to that upper range.
Well, anywhere from our market here is you could get for about 80,000, you can get a 1,200, 1,500 square foot three bedroom home. 250 will get you a newer, ranch style home with three bedrooms, two baths, probably 1,800 square feet.
When you talk with your agents and buyers and sellers at this time, what is their comfort level in starting the home buying process and getting through it at this time?
Well, I think it's different for everybody. I think some people are really nervous. I just talked to a client yesterday whose mom wants to put her house on the market. I've been talking to them for about a year now. They're ready to go, but now they're worried because she's older if they want people in the house. So I always recommend that they have to do what they're comfortable with. You know, we ask our listings now when we have showings, we have everybody turn the lights on, open up doors so that when we're showing the property, we don't have to touch anything. So we do those kind of things, but everybody's comfort level is different. And I always recommend that they do what they're comfortable with. If they're someone that does not like to leave the house or does not want to go to the store, then it's probably a good idea not to have anybody come into their house.
We're talking with Max Ray. He's the broker owner of RE/MAX Excel in Wausau. We're looking at the home buying process right now amidst this pandemic. Are you a home inspector, or maybe you work with a title company? How is your work changing, your workday changing? What is it like to be an essential worker, and what safety precautions are you taking in the real estate industry right now? We're at 800-228-5615 to join the conversation. Let's go to Brad now, joining us from Whitewater this morning. Hi, Brad.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I was able to qualify for a 3-month mortgage abatement, and it was just a snap of a fingers kind of thing. I asked for it and received it. But last week I was listening to one of the NPR programs, caught the tail end of somebody saying that in the state of Wisconsin it's now automatically qualified for a 6-month mortgage abatement. Just wondering if your guest could shed some light on that.
Yeah, so I have not heard that. I do know that a lot of banks are working with their mortgagees on what they can do for mortgage abatement, but I have not heard about the 6-month at all. So I would recommend calling your lender and kind of talking to them. Do you have is it a local lender that you're working with?
There's a local lender. I was in touch with them, and they said they hadn't heard of it either. But you know, I heard it on the NPR. I only wish I had caught more of the program.
Yeah, Brad, thank you, and good luck with that. How common is mortgage abatement, Max? Is this something you see in very difficult times, like a recession?
Typically, no. I think the last housing crisis that we had, the foreclosure rate was really high because there was not allow these kind of abatements. So I think they learned from that, and they're being ahead of the curve. You know, my argument back then was it'd be better to allow someone to put 3 to 6 months missed payments on the back end of the loan. It'd be cheaper for the banks than to foreclose on the property. So I think they learned from the last recession.
Well, speaking of unstable times in financial situations for households, the Department of Workforce Development has more than 300,000 new applications for unemployment benefits between March 15th and April 6th. How often are you seeing buyers and sellers changing their minds, maybe due to that financial situation or job loss during this home buying process?
Well, we have had some buyers that have pulled out, worried that they may be laid off or furloughed. You know, we have, I think currently in Wisconsin, there's about over 7,000 pending offers right now, which means that they're under contract and moving toward the closing state. And I think that that's a big worry every week this goes on, whether or not the people buying will still have a job, and they do worry. So we've had people ask if they could, you know, get out of the contract or even extend the closing date just to make sure that they have a job a month or two from now.
Let's look at earnest money here to lock down the sale of that home and start the loan process. You put down this money, can be thousands of dollars. So if you back out midway through buying a home, can you get that earnest money back?
Well, you could. I guess it's based on how your contract is structured. There's really no contingency that says, hey, if I change my mind, I'm completely out of the contract. Both the buyer and the seller would have to agree. If you have a financing contingency in your offer and you can't get financing, then typically you will get your earnest money back. But if it's a change of mind situation, you're going to have to negotiate with the buyer or the seller, because some sellers are wanting to back out as well, and they'll have to negotiate something to get their earnest money back.
And certainly part of this transaction is having the home inspected before you do that closing. What changes are you seeing in the inspection process?
Well, a lot of home inspectors are not allowing... Typically, the buyer would show up during the inspection at some point, and a lot of inspectors are saying, hey, instead of you guys coming to the house, I'll do a video tour. We'll talk over the phone. I'll take more pictures and more videos. That way, there's less people, you know, as part of that inspection.
If you think that your home value has plummeted right now, your property value, can you get it reappraised now, or is that this not the right time for homeowners to be doing this?
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about someone that already owns a home?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get it. I don't see that home values are plummeting at this point, and I don't see why doing an appraisal will help you. I think that with the low inventory, and there are buyers out there, I think that home prices are stable at this moment.
And you just need a little bit of extra time to get through the steps that may be carried out in a vastly different way.
Yeah, I would say that after 2 or 3 weeks in this, I'm seeing that the timelines are still fairly moving right along. We haven't had any issues with appraisals or inspections happening on time. Banks are still meeting with people that need loans. So I haven't seen any slowdown at all in the timelines of closings at this point.
I want to ask you something. You bought your business soon after the Great Recession there in Wausau. That was a risk. Do you see more risk opportunities at this time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they always say buy low, right? So I would say that if someone wants to finally open or buy a business, now would be a good time to do it. There are some people that may want to retire, you know, after this, get out, and you might be able to find some good deals.
Some good bargains may be had out there. Well, Max, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. You have a good day.
Take care. Max Ray is president of the Central Wisconsin Board of Realtors. He's also the broker owner of RE/MAX Excel in Wausau. Coming up, we take a closer look at the U.S. Census operation amid the pandemic. We find out how the current situation will affect census survey returns and compiling data. Have you received your census form? Have you filed it and returned it? Join in on all things census. Here's where we're at, 800-228-5615. Again, 800-228-5615. We'll be back after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a quick mention here about our spring member drive that is underway this week. You know, it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and that is really powerful. This spring member drive, support the programs you value. Give at this number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about how the coronavirus pandemic is disrupting plans for the ongoing 2020 census. The Trump administration is asking Congress to pass a law that would change major deadlines for the Census Bureau to deliver to the president the new state population counts. Have you received your census form yet? Have you filled it out? Have you returned it? Do you work for the census? Will you return to work when field operations resume? We're at this number to be part of the conversation. It's 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. Dan Viroff is a demographic specialist at the UW-Madison Applied Population Lab and the UW Extension College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kate.
So the Census Bureau wants to push back these deadlines, postpone field operations until June 1, push back the deadline to finish the census. Does that mean essentially that the census stops what it's doing until June 1st?
Well, the field operations are postponed or suspended for the time being, but the census goes on because for the first time this decade, census responses can be done over the internet or by telephone. Now, telephone response was always possible in the last couple of decades, but the internet response option is new for 2020.
Well, I have to say I did mine over the internet. It took me just a handful of minutes, very straightforward. But, you know, I'm lucky. I have broadband. I have a computer. I have a smartphone. What about people in rural areas?
Well, so the other thing to know is that everybody eventually will receive a paper form in the mail. Even if they haven't responded via the internet or through the telephone, they will get a census form via the mail. And they can always fill it out on paper and send it back like we used to do in the last couple of decades.
So if the Census Bureau wants to push back these deadlines and put in these delays, how do they go about doing that?
Well, so the main delays are going to be in the field operations, as I said before. And so that affects a couple of operations that will be coming up in later this summer. One is that there's an operation where some small percentage of housing units in Wisconsin were not mailed out forms. Instead, they were in an operation called Update Leave, where a census field worker would actually go to that housing unit, update the address for the records, and then leave a questionnaire. So that's one of the ways that operations have been impacted. The second way is that after all the census responses are in, there is an operation called non-response follow-up, where census field workers would go to housing units that have not responded via the internet or by mail or by phone, and start the process of trying to get their responses, either by telephone or by knocking on their doors and asking them to respond.
So that boots on the ground work is still very vital to get the census done.
Absolutely. That's how we get to that last little bit of response rate that gets us closer and closer to a complete and accurate count of the population.
Okay, so if the Census Bureau gets these delays through Congress, what is that process then in terms of for states that they're delayed in the process of redistributing congressional seats and electoral college votes among the states? What is the significance of that?
Well, so the some of those figures will be delayed by several months. That is, normally the state population counts, which apportionment and dividing up the seats in Congress are based on, would be delivered to the president on or before December 31st of a census year. And that's been pushed back to
April 2021.
And then
where we are right now.
A year from now. And then the other important data that comes out that's used by states is what's called the redistricting data. And that will also be pushed back and will be available now in July of 2021, by the end of July 2021.
So how else do state and local governments rely on census data as you look at it?
Well, so census data is important not just for apportionment and redistricting, but it is really important for a number of programs that rely on data for enforcing voting rights and civil rights legislation. And maybe most importantly, the data is really important for distributing a huge amount of money, billions and billions of dollars each year in federal funding to the states, tribal governments, and local governments. So that equates to, that funding equates to about $2,000 per person per year in federal funding coming to the state of Wisconsin. The other way that it's really important, and this is where some of the work that I do with University of Wisconsin Extension is so important, is it informs the decisions of governments and businesses and nonprofits about planning for services, funding for local improvements, roads, education, and maybe most importantly or timely now is preparing for emergencies.
Yeah, preparing for emergencies. We're going to get to that in a moment. Dan Viroff is a demographic specialist at the UW. How do you think the coronavirus pandemic might affect the census? Are you concerned about any step in the process? What are your questions about how the census works and what the data is used for? Join in at this number, 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. So, Dan, how does census data inform emergency response and how you allocate resources?
Well, at its most basic, it tells us where people live and a little bit about them. So we know for very small areas how many people are living in a neighborhood, for instance, what their ages are, and a little bit more about them. And that helps really with understanding who's there and who might be vulnerable to any kind of emergency.
So we get a much clearer depiction at who is behind that door at every door in the country.
Well, right. In a manner of speaking, we know, for instance, with the census data, we get data that's at a census block level. That's like a city block. And so it really does help us emergency responders and planning for services understand who's where and just a little bit about them.
So, you know, every state has its own way of trying to get the census done. Some states put money behind it. How does Wisconsin do this process, and what are the returns of the census information?
Well, so Wisconsin now has a statewide complete count committee, and a complete count committee is one of the ways that all states and local governments are trying to get the word out about the importance of the census and how it's safe and secure and easy to respond to. The State Complete Count Committee is headed up by Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and it includes people from different state agencies and statewide organizations. And they are really trying to get the word out using trusted local voices to the citizens of Wisconsin to get them to respond.
So as you talk to field operations, and as you look at how the field operations are going here in Wisconsin, with workers furloughed since mid-March, what do you know about how the pandemic has affected the operations in Wisconsin and getting this information from Wisconsinites?
Well, all in-person, on-the-ground operations have been suspended, but that doesn't mean the work is not going on. There are people, census workers are using different kinds of channels, social media, newsletters, articles to still push the word out about the importance of the census and how to respond. In terms of ramping up, there's only one operation that I know of that has had increased workers or presence, and that's the telephone operations, where people can call in and provide their response to the census over the telephone. But most other operations have more or less come to a halt.
As you compare decade to decade, is telephone operations for reporting this data, is that still really robust in 2020 as it was a decade ago?
I would say that it's robust, and it may have increased. Telephone assistance and telephone questionnaire assistance is available during most business hours, and they are ramping up the number of people who are going to be working in their call centers, and they have language assistance in many languages for people who need that.
We're talking with UW-Madison demographer Dan Viroff is our guide about the 2020 census, the delays in the midst of the pandemic. How do you think the coronavirus pandemic might affect the census? Are you concerned? What questions do you have about how the census works and what the data is used for? Join in at this number, 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Dan Viroff here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We have our spring member drive underway this week, and it is listener support that is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. You can give at this number. It's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about how the Census Bureau is requesting that congressional lawmakers extend the legal deadline for the Bureau to deliver to the president new state population counts. And these counts, they're used to determine the distribution of political representation. They're used to allocate federal funding for the next decade. So we're looking at the ramifications, getting your questions about the census at this number. It's 800-228-5612. 800-228-5615. Again, the number to join in, it's 800-228-5615. We have Dan Viroff with us. He's a demographic specialist at the UW-Madison Applied Population Lab, and he stays with us. Dan, as I was filling out my form online and putting in so many numbers for myself, for my kid, birth dates, I was wondering, what happens if I slip up? What happens if I am I a number off or I don't give the exactly the correct information inadvertently?
Well, for the most part, you will that information will be recorded. And if there's anything that looks like a really something that maybe just doesn't make any sense, you may be contacted by the Census Bureau as part of their non-response follow-up operation. It's not really a non-response. It's just that they're saying, well, is that what you really meant? And they may give you an opportunity to correct it. But for the most part, once you hit submit, that data goes off and starts to get added to the other data from the state of Wisconsin or from your community and added to the mix for the numbers that will be coming out later.
How do they carry out the non-response follow-up or any type of follow-up that the Census Bureau may need to do with you?
Well, in more or less real time, the Census Bureau understands what housing units have responded to the census, have sent in their form or responded via the internet or called. And they will start to go to target the addresses of the housing units that have not responded with a follow-up phone call or to actually visit that housing unit to try to get their census response.
And when they do end up eventually boots on the ground again, visiting a home, how do they identify themselves as a census worker?
Well, census workers will have an identification badge that is pretty clear and identifies them as a census worker. They will not ask for information beyond what is asked for in the census form. So if they start asking for anything like Social Security numbers or bank accounts or anything else, that's a sure sign that this is not a census worker. But they have very clear identification protocols, and if anybody has any concern about that, they can go to 2020census.gov to find out what that badge looks like. There's an actual picture of it on that website.
Oh, you can take a look at the badge there and then be able to match it up if someone would end up coming to your door and saying they represent the Census Bureau.
That's right.
Yeah. So remind us, what are the questions on the questionnaire and work us through the process of filling out a form?
Well, so the questions are, I believe there are 9 questions on the form, and the questions are really asking about very basic demographic information for each respondent who lives in a housing unit, or each person who lives in the housing unit. So the questions are about age, about gender, about ethnicity, that is whether you're Latino or not Latino, about your race, and about how you are related to other people in the housing unit. So asking whether you are married or living together, or whether there are kids in the house that are related to you, and so on. So it's very basic information. On the internet form, it leads you through all the questions. And like you said before, it didn't take me very long to fill out our census here for my family. In fact, I think it was about 10 minutes long.
So, but things can get complicated pretty quickly here. What if you're a college student and because of the pandemic, you've moved back home or you are living in a different place that you haven't lived before? How should you fill it out?
Well, so that is one of the curveballs that's been thrown at the census operations this time around. The college students who are living in dorms are being asked to respond to the census as if they were still in the dorms and not living elsewhere with their parents or wherever they ended up. For college students who are living off campus, they should respond as if they were at that address still. It really, the census is asking where you were, where your usual place of residence as of the April 1st of the census year.
April 1, where you were. We're talking with Dan Vieroff, a demographic specialist at the UW-Madison. We're looking at the census and the impact from the COVID-19 pandemic with your questions at 800-228-5615. Let's go to Michelle now, joining us from Adams. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yes, I am an individual who spends part of my year in Arizona. And when I came back, I found a letter in my post office box. I don't get my mail at my street address. And it came from the Census Bureau, and it's asked me to call a particular number. And when I try to call that number now, I can't reach anyone. So I have two questions. What number should I call now? And also, why wasn't the actual census form mailed to my post office box?
Michelle, thank you for that. Dan, what is that situation like there for Michelle, who splits her time between two residences?
Well, so the census asks about your usual place of residence. That's the first thing to know. So if Michelle spends most of her time and calls her Wisconsin residence, her usual place of residence, she should respond at the Wisconsin address. And the first mailings that went out from the Census Bureau were invitations to participate and didn't include a form. So eventually, though, you should have gotten a paper form with the right about now is when you might expect to get that form mailed out if the first form mailings were invitations.
I mean, I think my invitation had a code on it where I would go to the website, put in the code, and then I could fill out the form.
Right. And so I don't know if that's what Michelle's looked like or was if it just had a telephone number.
Michelle, do you remember, was there a code on your form?
I don't recall there being a code, just a number to call.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not seeing a code. There's a really long number at the top of the letter, but it doesn't mention.
That might be it. But here's the ultimate solution, which is you can respond to the 2020 census even if you haven't gotten any mailings at all or don't have the ID code. And what you can do is go to 2020census.gov and click on the respond button, and then it will ask if you have your code or whether you received a mailing, and you can go through the steps as if you have not, and it will ask you for your address, and once it confirms that address is in the system, you will be able to respond via the internet.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Dan Vieroff is a demographic specialist at UW-Madison's Applied Population Lab and the UW Extension College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Just ahead, we have a Wisconsin infectious disease physician joining us to share the latest information about COVID-19, what it's like at her hospital in the Milwaukee area, and to field your questions about the disease at 800-228-5615. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.